I'm Chris.
I'm Buddy.
And I'm Kara, and welcome to the Business Experience.
Now it's time to meet your hosts. Dr. Chris Alexander has founded over 5 businesses. Kara Turner is the founder of a B2B marketing agency. And Buddy Powers has perfected the product development and commercialization process. Let's get into the episode.
So today we are going to be talking about the customer journey and the sales funnel and how the two work together. So one of the things that we do for our clients, we've done this for you guys, is we walk through the customer journey, which is awareness, consideration, intent, evaluation, and then purchase. And that works directly into the sales funnel. They're basically the same thing. They just are kind of structured a little bit differently. So Lena is gonna put up the graphic on our video so everyone can see exactly what we're talking about. But have y'all ever sat down and really planned out your funnel for your clients?
Yes, for me, yeah. Absolutely. So for our situation, and in most situations, you have clients that are in a certain stage of the sales process. So you would kind of fit them in the funnel. If you're trying to draw more clients into your, you know, further down the funnel, you have to start somewhere, right? So basically you're turning leads into, you know, some type of actual client contact. So you want to take out the suspects, keep the prospects, and then actually and basically, you know, kind of polishing, if you think of polishing a stone, there's a lot of sales training that goes into doing that. You have to find the buyers, what are their common resistance, you know, and that all is in a stage that you're at. So you're really just trying to take leads and prospects and developing into good quality leads that, you know, you can pass on to some of our team members and begin the, you know, the next step in the journey, which is to become a customer and a client.
So in marketing, we call that your ideal client profile. There's a couple different names for it, but that's what we call it. So you're taking your current clients, you pick your like top client that you love working with, and you want to find other clients like them. Mm-hmm. So in your sales funnel, you would kind of look at the clients who are working through your funnel and then find other clients like them based on their characteristics, their problems, their concerns, and how you can help them.
Yeah.
So Chris, I know that you do this, but probably in a less formal way. So how do you look at a sales funnel?
Yeah, so we were talking before we get started. I'll be honest with you, I've never thought about a process. But as I think about having sold a lot of stuff over the years, I've just done it vicariously. I hadn't really thought about it. So of course I have a book, and I always love having my books. And because we've been moving, I haven't had books on the past couple of podcasts. But
I know you failed us.
I know I failed us. So anyway, so this is Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller. Thoroughly recommended. The reason I pulled it off the shelf this afternoon is that it does a great job talking about you need to make the customer the hero. Mm-hmm. And I think when I read this book probably a couple of years ago, that's one of the things that really resonated. So I think that's part of it. I think the other thing too, though, is, and specifically we're a service company and we have 2 service companies represented, is that we really serve people, right? Mm-hmm. And so when they come to us, they have a problem. And so to me, the favorite part, my favorite part of that as being a consultant is when a client becomes a friend.
Yes. Right?
And so you've helped them get, you know, they've gotten a bad situation. You come in, you help them out. And then the next time they're in that situation, because they have a relationship with you, and it's more than just a client, you know, consultant relationship. It's a legitimate, you know, their families and your friends. And for me, what it means is that sometimes they give us grace. Maybe we're behind on a project a little bit. And so they're like, you know, Chris is a good guy, and I know he's moving right now, or he's got this going on. Or the other side of it is I know their situation and I want to help them do well at work. So I do think that's a great transition. And I had a person tell me years ago, one of the great things, you know, you've arrived as a consultant is when those clients become friends. That's the epitome of the relationship.
Yes, I would agree with that. I think it also helps us give grace to our clients.
Right.
Because any business owner, sometimes our clients start like grating on our last nerves. And when they're our friends, when they're our friends, we're like, oh, they don't mean it that way. I'm not going to take it personally.
Right, exactly.
So, Buddy, I know this is all up your alley. Like, this is what you do day in, day out. If you were going to give advice to maybe a brand new salesperson on working their sales funnel, do you have any?
Yeah, I have two. I think number one, get with a process that you have tailored or customized to fit your logic and where you are in your career. Make it very simple, 3 or 4 stages on the funnel. You know, there's things at the bottom of the funnel that everybody has. That's, you know, when you get a sale or a PO. At the top of the funnel, you know, you have a lead section. And then you can tailor the meat of the funnel into something that is fitting for what you're actually selling, whether it's product, services, you know, pharmaceuticals, or, you know, anything that, you know, you're driving demand. I think the second piece of all this is that you stay consistent with it and you keep working on it and don't let it go, because there have been steps and times in my career where we had a sales ladder, we had a sales, you know, staging funnel, we let it go and then it just kind of became useless. So take your clients, put them in that funnel in those stages, and then try to drive them through and pull them through that funnel.
Yes, there's lots of CRMs that you can do it. HubSpot is a free CRM where you can track people, and then they have very complex CRMs like Salesforce that give you tons of information, but they are very labor intensive to put stuff in there. When I was doing sales, I didn't have an actual like process like this, but what I would do is I would find clients that we did work for, and then I would Google like that, say, Centrifuge Manufacturers in Houston, Texas area. And then I would find all of them, download them basically into an Excel spreadsheet, and then sort them by zip code. And then I would just go to that zip code and knock off all those people, because we had other clients who did that. So I knew that they needed our services. So it was basically a qualified lead. Right. And I would just go knock on their door and introduce myself.
So you did have a process.
Yes, but I guess it wasn't a formalized process.
It is.
It was customized.
Yeah. We should name it.
You should. The Kara Turner process for making money.
I need to do more of that. Yeah. So Chris, how does the sales cycle or like the sales funnel really affect your business from a president's standpoint? Right.
So I think some of it, you know, the word cycle is an engineering term. And so if you're watching, you can see my finger. So cycle is this, right? So cycle can be really long, okay, or cycle can be really fast.
Yes.
And I like fast cycles, okay? Some probably too fast. Sometimes I feel like the organization, I'm driving things too much. So I think one of it is you need to figure out what's the pace that your organization's comfortable with. Mm-hmm. The thing I like about sales is you can kind of control that. So a good example is we're getting ready to do this Composite Technology Advancement Group, CTAG, that Buddy and I made the acronym up. We've been working on it for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. You know, so Buddy and I have a list. I think I've added some names today, but we've got about 85 companies. You all did the marketing piece.
Yep.
You know, our meeting's on, you know, January 19th. 2023. So there's a lot of work that's gone in the front end. We're also now actively inviting people. So it's really intense for a while. Then the week of the event, then there's a bit of a rest, right? Mm-hmm. We host the event and then we ramp back up. So I think part of it is in the sales cycle, there's periods of time where you push really hard and then you rest for a period. So I think you have to figure out what that balance is. I always want to be intense, right? Mm-hmm. So in my observation, you know, and I know, Buddy, you've worked with a lot of companies. I think a lot of times companies are a little too laid back. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not pushing. And the reason they're growing, they're like, well, we grew at 12% last year. Yeah, but if you work really hard, you might have grown at 30%. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of my position. The sales cycle, you control the frequency, if you will, of that cycle, but it involves how hard the leadership's willing to push.
Yes, I would agree with that. I remember when I was in sales, I would get nervous, obviously, when sales were slow. But then when things got really busy, then I would get nervous that they weren't going to get it done.
So but you're that's always like, nervous.
Yes, that's a nerve. I would rather have the like anxiousness of too much work than the anxiousness of not enough work.
Right.
That is terrifying.
Well, and that goes back to having a good team, right? Yeah. So I felt that way for a while. Now the other guys are stressed because we have a lot of work coming in. But if you build a good team, you know, you're the responsible for going out and getting the work, but then you have other team members to make sure that things get done and you hold each other accountable. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think a lot of things we're doing at ADV, it's been painful getting here to a bit, but anyway, I think those things are working.
Yes, I definitely agree. Buddy, do you have any last piece of advice for salespeople?
Yeah, I think we call it a healthy sense of urgency is what we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think in terms of you have to have an edge, one that you don't really are never satisfied. You know, it's like we're approaching, you know, when you're approaching the end of the year and, you know, the numbers are, you know, whatever you did that previous year is swiped clean, doesn't really matter. And as a good salesperson, you're back to zero and you're starting from day one, you're zero. So I think, you know, having the ability to not let that affect you, make you too nervous, or kind of get you out of your mode, your game, then you have the ability to be a very good salesperson. And actually, the only way to do that, I think, is to have a process. So as you get older, you kind of seek processes that are helpful to you, that are, you know, I'd like to say customized, but you kind of take someone else's process and develop your own. And if you can do that well, then you focus on that. You don't have the concerns of next year. I have no sales next to my name because, you know, that's a new year. So
yes, I think sometimes people get intimidated when you say processes, but it's so easy just to Google this and you can find frameworks for it. I think the most important thing is for you to identify your client's pain point in each process. So like brand awareness, their pain point is they don't know who you are. So you need to address that. Evaluation of you, like how can you help them? What are their problems? You just need to think from your client's perspective and how you make their life easier. They don't care about you. They care about how you help them.
Right.
So, well, anything else, Chris?
Well, that's kind of actually what I was going to say was it's easy to think about processes and even transactional, but then they business is about people, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you're running a quilt shop like my wife Tanya does, or you're doing, you know, consulting services that we provide, or you're a plumber, you know, everything is about that customer experience. And it's a lot easier in sales if your organization does a really good job, right? So that when you want to sell something else that people have already had a good experience, you're just building on top of that. So it all kind of works together, but I do think it's easy sometimes to lose sight of the fact that we're all in the people business.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with that. Definitely. All right. Well, that was the end of episode 17. Episode 18, we're going to be talking about good management techniques. Mm. So join us next time to hear about that stuff.
Bye.